Father, we want to thank you for your integrity. We want to thank you for your care and your affection towards us. Lord, this morning I'm reminded of the truth that says, who is man that you are mindful of him? I thank you, Lord, there's not one person here who in the midst of all of our brokenness, you cannot reach down. And even though many of us feel bankrupt in one way or the other and in deep, deep poverty, we can give you our hearts and our minds so we can grow in the truth. For you said we will know the truth. And until we know the truth, we're not free. We only live in the picture of a free country, but freedom only comes from Jesus Christ, in whose name we give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Thank you, wonderful musicians. Thank you, Lord. Just want to encourage everybody. They've been here from 8 o'clock this morning, because we have two services, as those of you that don't know. So if you need a seventh inning stretch, I will be about another nearly half an hour preaching, if that's too long. People say I'm not as boring as I look. But how do I know? I don't listen to them. Actually, I do. I do listen to my own sermons. I had to pray through on that one. Praise God. Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Can I just encourage each and every one, if you do bring your Bible to church, could you please put your name in it? Anybody want to borrow a pen? Because I find a lot of Bible. Funny enough, we find on average at least one Bible a week, and we don't know who to return it to. And they're in that cupboard if you want them. Praise God. Who said that? Luke chapter 8. Before we go there, I just want to tell you what happened to this week. You know how we politely lie to each other in church? Anyway, the word integrity comes from the word integra, or a Greek word, I surmise, that means the whole. It means the whole. There's no such thing as part truth. There's no such thing as a little white lie. That doesn't exist. So integrity means the whole. So those of you that have been here several weeks, who remembers the message I preached about calling me fat will be a compliment? Anybody here when I preached that? Oh, you remember it? Oh, I'm just can't think how. And I was saying how, you know, the fact that if I was fat, I would be actually glad, because really I'm obese. And what? And the fact that I know I don't look it, because I carry it so well. But I need to put a mirror on this back wall for you laughers. That's a good idea. Remind me of that. And the fact that I am 80 pounds overweight. Now, anybody who's 80 pounds overweight is obese. Don't know what language you speak or what country you're from. And so the reality is that I've been very concerned about that. I'm 57 years old, and I need to stay healthy. If I don't stay healthy, I will curtail my life. I will die sooner than I should. And how often do you see a big old man? Not very often. They're always little old men. You're all laughing, especially you smaller people. I ain't laughing anymore. So what happened is, let me remind you again, I wish, beloved, above all things, that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So therefore, the reality is the future of your life depends on the prosperity of your soul. Your soul is your will, your intellect, and your emotions. And have you ever noticed that when somebody is emotionally out of control, they don't care what the truth is? Yeah, I've seen that every time. When they're emotionally out of control, they don't care about the truth. They don't care about Matthew 18 and living at peace with all men.
So therefore, they're not free. So therefore, this is why James said, receive the engrafted word or the implanted word that is able to save your soul. When I'm born again, my spirit is butter, bing, brand new. But I've still got the same thick head I had for the 29 years I had before I found Jesus found me. Okay? So I want you to all understand that, that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, not by a gospel. There is no gospel. There is no laying on of the hands for ignorance. Though I wish there was. The Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. And the fact how knowledge must then follow with understanding, understanding then, if it continue, hold on to it all the time, begins to bring revelation. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and you would do well to take heed as to a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns. And the morning star rises in your heart. That's the morning star. The phosphorus, that word is, of revelation. And when you got it, you got it. Praise God. But when it comes to two things, money and health, most of us don't got it. Most of us don't got it. We really don't. And so, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Just last week, I had a visitation from a Puerto Rican. You ever been visited by a 5-foot Puerto Rican? Now, you may laugh, but when you're a 6-foot-4 Englishman, it's a strange thing when this little person comes into your home bearing gifts. You think, oh, I like gifts. Well, I didn't like these gifts. These gifts were for a liver cleanse. A liver purge. Yeah, you youngsters can laugh. I hope you reap what you sow, man. But I'm going to tell you, my health, I want you to hear this. Do you know how many of us blame the devil for bad health? What about the scripture that says that those who sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption? In other words, when I bang my head against the wall and I have a headache, I could rebuke the devil all day long. But until I renew my mind to go, duh, stop banging your head on the wall. Now, I want to say this because my health is an issue because Jesus Christ is not the Lord of my eating habits. Welcome to the Kingston Vineyard, where the pastor confesses his sin publicly. He is not the Lord of my eating habits. If he was, I wouldn't be obese, would I? So therefore, there's a time in your life when you go, okay, E equals some rapper squared. That was a good one. That wasn't a good squared. All right, all right, all right. So you've got to begin at some time in your life. We hear it enough time. You've got to make a decision. Either God is true and every man's a liar. Either the Bible is the word of God or it's a good opinion. If it's a good philosophy, then enjoy. But it will never bring you life. It will never bring you prosperity and it will never bring you the abundance that God has planned for you. I'm not talking about money. We live in America. Anybody can get money. You don't have to be saved to get money. You just have to be an American. So, and if you don't think I believe that, I believe that. So the reality is, because I've been to 69 countries, so the reality is we have to make a decision about the word, if I'm going to receive it as the word of God, and if I'm going to apply it to my soul by my will, then I can prosper from the word of God. So therefore, this morning, I looked at Elaine, bless her cotton socks. Those of you that don't know, she's the one who leads the worship. And I looked at her, and my wife was next to me, and I said, Elaine, I've had a lousy week. I've had a really lousy week. I felt miserable, tired. I've had a headache at the beginning. Thank God that didn't last long. But I felt miserable because there's toxins trying to get out of me. You understand what I'm saying? There's toxins that are making me worse than before I went on this, whatever the heck I'm doing. What am I doing? Call it a cleanse. I don't see no cleanse. It's a purge. So I feel like Stalin's involved with this. Anyway. Gee. And it's been terrible. I've been walking around like a zombie. Going, oh. Anybody see the movie Ray? About Ray Charles? You didn't see it? That's an awesome movie, Oscar winner. Well, in it, Ray Charles was a heroin addict. And it showed him when he was detoxing in a rehab center. It's amazing. The guy was just tormented and the pain and the agony and the bringing up of everything until he was dehydrated and it was murder. Why? He was so far away from the truth, coming back to the truth produced pain. Now, I'm saying that because as a pastor of this house, I'd like to say, however far you are away from the truth, in whatever area of your life you are away from the truth, when you make a decision to come back to the truth, it's going to hurt you. It will produce pain. All right? See, my obesity not only causes my body to slow down, it hurts my knees. Okay, how many of you have ever been... I don't want to see your hands, but how many of you have ever been to the doctor and they've said this? Well, the blood in your sugar would improve if you lost weight. You would sleep better if you lost weight. You'd stop snoring if you lost weight. Your cholesterol would improve if you lost weight. Your blood pressure would go down if you lost weight. Your heart would improve if you lost weight. You're like, hello? You know, how far away? And what do? When we walk out there? We go, huh? You know, we got this, or maybe we're encouraged for a little while. Oh, yeah, you know, and all that. And that lasts normally about as long as a pastor's sermon lasts to the parking lot. Unless you receive, listen to this, with all meekness, with all teachabilityness, James chapter 1. The engrafted word that is able to save your soul, my soul being my will, loves food more than my will loves Jesus. There's no alternative. That's it. Isn't it? I mean, bagels and cheese. God, I struggle with cheese. God, I love cheese. I can live without cakes and chocolate and all that, but please, I want a sandwich this thick. Okay, are you with me here? But I instinctively, when I'm going through this detoxification, want to blame the person who brought me the goods. Are you with me? I've got this little thing in me going, Elaine. You see what I'm saying? Well, welcome to my world. It's called trying to teach the people about giving. Trying to teach the people about serving God. Trying to teach the people about what the Word says about you having a prosperous life. And then everybody on the way out saying, oh, yeah, that was some guilt trip this morning, wasn't it? Yeah, right, yeah. Blooming guilt trip. And other parbear things. All right, now let's talk about a subject that we need to talk about. Young Fritz died this Friday. Carolyn, some of you don't know, the Wilsons, they two families come to the church, their sister's been sick. Anybody been getting my emails about Carolyn? And I thank you for your prayers. Oh, and by the way, thank you everybody who visited Fritz in hospital and comforted Helen. We have a niece's father who's sick in Virginia. She left there, on Thursday morning to go down and see him. Some kind of brain aneurysm, I'm not sure what it is. Not a good picture at the moment. Dottie, where's Dottie? Dottie, wave at us, Dottie. I visited Dottie a couple of times this week in hospital. She'd been suffering tremendous pain. We have another young lady in the church who at the moment is going through, she's undergoing evaluation. Let me leave it at that. My wife's father, we got a phone call this week, has a severe prostate problem, which we don't know about, could be the big C word. And how many of us are not feeling well? How many of us have parents and relatives and loved ones who are sick? And therefore, we need to do something about it. And I just want to actually teach this morning on the reality is God is a healer. The same as God is a provider. He is. And I'm not arguing with it. It's a non-negotiable. So let's look at what the word says. Luke chapter 8. And we'll begin here. We'll just keep it simple then. Some of you young men, can you email me this week? Tell me how long it took you to read the book of Luke. Thank you. Tell me how long it took you to read the book of Luke. Please. Thank you. Luke chapter 8, beginning 47. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden. Oh, sorry. So does everybody know the story of the woman with the issue of blood? In fact, Jesus was going to Jairus' house. Jairus' daughter was dying. On the way, he starts playing games. Who touched me? And boom, what happened is a woman who had been bleeding, hemorrhaging for 12 years, got healed immediately. Verse 47. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And of course, Jesus continued on and began to raise the Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now, what I'm saying here is how essential it is, if we know the book of Hebrews, that it doesn't matter how much the Bible is read, unless it's read in faith, it's going to profit you nothing. The Bible says that you can hear the word, but if you don't mix it with faith, and trust me, with this cleanse, I know all about mixing this week. Oh, God, I've been putting some ugly things. Anyway. If you don't, see, we can take the word of God. It's a bit like we can read the word of God and then we can fight against it and say, nah, I don't know about that. Have you ever had that attitude? Or how about this one? Well, what does that mean? What part of given it shall be given unto you? Don't you understand? You know, there's an element of the word that is so simple. But the carnal mind, the enemy of God, the carnal mind that the Bible clearly says is an enemy of God, cannot resolve the simplest reality that says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken down, running over, will men give unto your bosom. Now, that is so plain, so simple. I don't understand why Christians don't embrace that reality. And even in a time of poverty, be like the patriarch Isaac and sow in famine. There's nothing worse. Oh, God, I've had such a bad day, mate. And it isn't just the liver stuff. There's nothing worse than when people say, oh, I can't afford to give. It is one of the greatest lies and deceptions. We read the Bible already when it says in 2 Corinthians, it says that out of their deep poverty, that the expression of their giving was awesome and they became just so excited about it all. You see what I'm saying? And then he said what? God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you always have in all sufficiency and all things may abound into every good work. But the mind, especially men, can I say this, guys? I just said it. Especially the men, especially the head of the homes, hopefully, especially the men that they're saying, whatever. And then there's the other one. There's, we got to be careful. Where the heck is that written? Well, give me a chapter and verse on being careful. And give me another one. Give me another chapter and verse on the word try. Oh, I'll give it a try. Where's that written? You see, there's a reality that either God is true or he isn't. He's either the Lord or he isn't. And if he is the Lord, I need him to be the Lord of my health. And I need him to be the Lord of my finances. And I need him to be the Lord of my marriage and my children. I need that. I need to embrace that until I get it. Okay. All right, let's run through this quickly. Let's go to Exodus 15. On the back of the reading program this week, if you have one, there's a typo there. It's Exodus 15. It should say 24 through 26. If you've still got my pen, you can share it. And that's how I get them. Joe. It's Exodus 15, 24 through 26. Now, this is what happened. And the reason I'm saying this, you may think I'm being a bit emphatic this morning, where really what I'm trying to do is be emphatic. And the story is God has just given the greatest deliverance in the history of the world, where he's set free 2 million slaves. Not only has he set them free, he set them free with money. Not only has he set them free with money, he takes them through the Red Sea and drowns all of their enemies. Not only has he set them free and given them money and drowned all their enemies, they're now on the other side. Miriam, bless her cotton socks. Socks and sandals, nah. Nah. That would be too English, wouldn't it? Yeah. She grabs a tambourine and goes nuts with it. And then, immediately, deliverance from slavery, made wealthy, drowned all the enemies, had a great party, they start complaining. Immediately. They complain immediately. Oh, there's not enough sugar in my coffee. Is that what it said? Hang on. They went to Starbucks. What was it? Oh, no, no. They went to the waters of Mara. And it was called Mara, and they murmured, and they, because this. Anyway, so God said to Moses, cut down that tree, which was representing what? The tree of life. And he took the tree of life, threw it in the water, and the water became good. Bada bing. That's how quick it happened. I don't know how my mind just went here, but you want to hear a joke? How it went there. Actually, I do know, but it's too long. I was told this by a pastor, so I know it's clean. Does anybody know what happens when you cross an elephant with a rhino? Elephino. No? No, it wasn't bad, was it? Could you, but that, one of these pastors was sitting there across the breakfast table going, oh, I can't repeat that. I said, what the heck? Should have seen his face, man. Elephino. Anyway. So what was I talking about? Again, do you know what? You know, forgive me. Can we all take a moment? Can we just bow our heads in prayer a minute? Lord, help our guests. We owe the guests an apology. This is the first time you've been here. How the heck are you still sitting here? Thank you for being here. Normally things are normally quite insane, but we're just having a strange time. Okay, hear this. And so what happens, it says that they tested God, and verse 26 of Exodus 15 says, and then Moses said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. Let's give him a thanks for that one, mate. Hallelujah. I am the Lord who heals you. Woo! And that should begin to sustain us. Okay, Psalm 103, if you go in there quickly, let's read it. It's an awesome psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. I mean, we've got to begin to go there as a people. Now, let me say this for a start. If you are sick, or you have a family member who is sick, or a parent, or a loved one, or anybody, I want to say something right here from the bat, out front, as the pastor of this house. It is not anybody's fault. We are living in a fallen world. Does anybody understand that? I need to make people who judge the people who died in the World Trade Center. Whoo-hoo-hoo. How dare they? How dare they judge the victims of Katrina? How dare they judge those people? The reality is, Jesus was arguing with legalistic people, and they said, oh, this guy who was blind, whose fault was it, him or his parents? Jesus said, for God, neither. It's in the world. The sin is in the world. We live in a present evil age, the Bible says. So therefore, I want you to understand, if you are sick or there's a sickness in your body or in your loved one's body, it isn't their fault, okay? This pastor is not accusing anybody who is sick. Right. Did I get my point across? Good. Just want to make sure you hear that. Sin is in the world, but he is the Lord God that heals us. Okay, let's go back to Luke. I'm going to try and wrap this up in 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes? Luke chapter 5. Let's just run through Luke quickly, and somebody tell me how long it takes you to read Luke this week. Luke chapter 5, and it says this. Verse 15, then the report went around concerning him more than more, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed, to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, there was a Pharisees and the teachers law sitting by who said, out of the town, etc. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I am proclaiming here in this house that the Lord God is a healer. Now, is he going to heal you today? I'm going to have to confess, I don't know that answer. I would love to be able to say, come here, I will lay hands on you, and you will be set free from your infirmity. But I have not got that faith. Okay? Let me tell you, I don't have that faith. Does that change anything? No, not a thing. It doesn't change a thing. The fact that I, at this moment in time, do not have the faith to pray for, you know, whatever, diabetes or something. I don't have that faith. But it doesn't change the integrity of the word. That's the point I want to get across this morning. It doesn't change the integrity of the word. Therefore, whatever you're going through, God is still a healer. Anybody heard of Dr. Yonggi Cho? Yonggi Cho has the largest church in the world. He's got in excess of 1 million people in one congregation in Seoul, Korea. And I never forget when he said, am I talking too fast? When he said, well, if I'm in a prayer line and I pray for somebody to be healed and they drop dead, I'm going to step over them and pray for the next person. Because it's not his integrity that's on the line. And the reality is God is a healer. And that's all I want to get across to us this morning so we can begin to think God is a healer. God is a provider. I wish above all things that I would prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. As I begin to stop believing the reports of everybody that says it cannot be done and it cannot be done and it can't. This is Kingston. This is the Northeast. Oh, everybody's this and that. Oh, we haven't got it. We can't. Let's stop all that. So it takes time maybe, but let's stop it. All right, Luke 5. I read that, didn't I? Luke 5:17. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Okay, let me just teach you this quick while you turn to Luke 8. The kingdom of God is not a people or a place. In other words, it isn't us and it isn't this church or any church for that matter or any us for that matter. You see, because when I'm not, can anybody hear this? When I'm not 100% under the lordship of Jesus Christ, then his kingdom isn't there. Everybody get that? In other words, as soon as I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off, his kingdom, if it was there, has just left. Anybody hear anything I'm saying this morning? As soon as I open my mouth in vengeance, vengeance is no longer the Lord's. It's mine, therefore he's not the Lord, I am. Can anybody hear me? You got me? So those of us that are under the impression that we are 24/7 in the kingdom, we do greatly err. Because there ain't none of you here I'm excluding. except the little baby at the back. The little baby at the back is always in the kingdom. Praise God. Okay, did everybody hear that? Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 says, did we start with that? Luke chapter 9. And this is really where I'm going to try and wrap it up if I can. Luke chapter 9 says this. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. That's exousia, or dunamis and exousia. I want to encourage you. I don't know when it was up. The power of God in you doesn't impress me. I want to encourage you that. The purpose of a healing ministry, or the purpose of a healing touch, is to glorify Jesus. The second purpose is for the person to no longer be in pain. There is never a purpose for you to get something out of it. And trust me, you, when you've been there, come and tell me amen. Because it is so easy to build a ministry around a power gift and think you're in the will of God. Power doesn't prove the will of God. It proves that God likes to heal people and that Jesus is glorified. Okay, now authority, that impresses me more. Authority, exousia in Greek, is what Jesus was impressed with by the centurion, remember? Whoa, I've never seen such man of authority. He didn't say, whoa, this guy's got 100 guys on him. I ain't going to mess with him because he could have my head removed and all my mates at the same time. He wasn't impressed with his power. He was only impressed with his authority. If you want authority, you have to be under authority. We all know that. Okay, so and then he goes on to say, power and authority have all demons, cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom and heal the sick. Preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Verse 6, so they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And chapter 10, verse 9 says, heal the sick who are there and say, the kingdom of God has come near you. All right, so let's wrap it up in this reality. The presence of the Lord was there to heal. I'm asking each and every one of us, let's believe God corporately for the presence of God to come more in our midst to heal. I think that one of the reasons, don't worry, don't go. Sarah, sit down. I don't mind the baby. Just see, I talked about her and now she's talking back, that's all. Praise God. What's I talking about? Huh? What else was I saying? Anything else? Do you know why? Oh, God. Do you know why I honestly think there is so much sickness in the body of Christ? It's not an individual thing. It's not even. Paul taught the church and said, listen, guys, when you take communion, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Check yourself out. He said, do you know the problem? He says, listen to this. He said, you know, you don't really discern the body correctly. You don't really understand what you're part of, whether you like it or not. If you're saved, you're part of it. And he says, because of that, many of you eat and drink in a wrong state, mainly attitude. In fact, you have got road rage about somebody, and you haven't forgiven them. And so what do? You, he said, that's why some of you are sick. And some of you die early. That's what it taught. That's what Paul taught the Corinthian church. So the reason I think there's so much sickness that isn't being healed is the fact that, as a body, we're not discerning the fact that we're a body. And that, you ever stubbed your little toe? Have you ever stubbed your little toe? We had a guy in the first service, Bob. Anybody, do you know who Bob is? So Bob was coming down the stairs with this big cast on his foot. And we said, what's up, Bob? He said, oh, I had a fight with a stool in the kitchen in the middle of the night. He said, and the stool won. He said, I was walking through the kitchen and it was dark and I hit my toe against the stool. And now he's got a cast. You see, one toe gets injured, the whole body's in shtuk. He said, but it's okay, I got an operation March the 7th. So one little pinky, that's the whole body gets laid up. Can we see this? You see, it's because we... Do you know how important it is for us to begin to learn to care for one another? I mean, really care. Really, not you become my responsibility. No, but care. And it's got so much to do with healing. It's got so much to do with prosperity. You know, what almsgiving. We give to the poor. What are we doing? The Bible says that he who gives to the poor lends to God. And the scripture then says God is no man's debtor. So therefore, God, every time we give to the poor, God... What can you do about it? You see, these things are so important. And as a pastor, I want our house to live in the health of God. And so basically, I want to say, he is a healer. No matter how broken you are. And I want to close in this thought. If you're broken emotionally, if you're broken mentally, if you're broken sexually, if you're broken physically, he is the Lord God that heals you. And his grace can abound towards you. Because that is what the will of the Lord is for each and every one of us. So Father, I just want to give thanks, Lord, for everybody here. Because I really desire to see us to be healed. And all the brokenness that we've been through and all the slavery we've been bound by. Doesn't matter whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whatever it is, whatever's binding us and blinding us. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, a healing God, and we want to be part of the healing of this community. We do not want to be the murmurers. We do not want to be the gossipers. We want to be those who discern the body so we can be fruitful in our community. And Father, I just want to thank you today. Lord, help us sustain something that's been spoken today, Lord, because I pray something I've said will edify this body. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Sarah, what are you doing? This is my daughter, by the way. Or one of them.
A couple weeks ago...
See how they gang up on me? See, did you see this? They always send the women.
Yes, dear. And I took Beth, the younger girls, out to go swimming and have pizza and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we just wanted to thank Pastor Ron and Wendy for doing a good
time. Mom and Dad to you.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Had a good time. I just wanted to say thank you. So.
Thank you so much.
And we had a lot of fun.
Isn't that nice? Well, thanks, beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pass me Gracie's birthday card, that card. And just to see you, I got another card this week from my daughter Grace, who's ministering in California, and this is what she wants to say to you all. Isn't that beautiful? Can you hear it? Give somebody a hug and go and eat a bagel. Praise God. And if you want prayer, we're here. How kind. Thank you. Oh, let's turn off. Get off me, you.